The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Our boys in the afternoon, Kyle Brustin, Norton, have come up with a green and gold time capsule questionnaire for the 2024-2025 season. Ben is actually burying these in the backyard. Is that my understanding?
That would be correct, Gabe.
And then they're going to dig them up at the end of the season?
That'd be correct. I did.
His fiance is cool with him just digging a hole in the backyard?
I saw a video of her giving approval.
Okay.
Of said, I really hope that his backyard hasn't been surveyed and maybe he hit some important things, but that's just me.
That's Ben.
Digs a little too deep, takes out a power line, who knows?
So is this, are we going to fill out one for just Jen, Gabe, and Chewy in general?
No, I need you to fill out one.
Okay.
Chewy, I'm just going to fill yours out
okay,
for you.
Thank you.
Because I figured you didn't have a pen handy, so I'll just take care of it.
I got a marker, it'd be sloppy.
Yeah.
I don't even know what some of these are. Like, number one, what the hell is that?
Your name?
The one below.
Your social media handle. You have none. I've put an NA for you.
What is the handle? What is that?
So mine is at GNITEL16.
So that's how people contact you.
Yeah, that's like, if you want to tweet at me, that's my Twitter handle.
Okay.
So the first important question on here, regular season record. What is the Packers' regular season record going to be?
You're asking me?
I am asking you.
11-6.
I feel, what did we, when we did the schedule release show, Josh, what did we say? 12-5.
12-5? Yep. Coming off of it?
I'll stick with it. I'm less optimistic now than I was when the schedule came out.
Yeah.
The camp hasn't gone as well as I was hoping. Like,
so you're thinking a few early?
I think so.
Yeah.
Kicking situation makes me a little nervous. Again, today's an important day. The next question on the questionnaire from KBN. How many games does Christian Watson play? I'm going to say 10. I think he misses
That's
7.
It?
Yeah, I think he's going to miss 7.
He won't get another contract.
No.
I'm going to say because he knows this is an important year for him. That's going to determine how much money he's going to make in the near future. I will say he plays 13. Still miss a few.
Okay.
But he will play through. He will start to learn the difference between hurt and injured.
Okay.
Okay? A little bit of a funny feeling in the hamstring. Dude, you got to play.
Are we sure about that?
I'm just saying. I'm being optimistic.
I'm just saying at one point during camp, everybody was down on a knee because they thought he was, you know, very hurt, and then he returned to practice the next day.
He's still soft, but
okay.
I'm going to say 13.
Most disappointing player?
Devontae Wyatt.
I'm debating if I want to make a big swing here.
I know where you're going.
Where am I going?
Linebacker.
So it's either him or a defensive end. I still got questions about Rashawn Gary, man.
Wow.
Really?
This is a make or break year for Rashawn Gary.
Is it?
Yes.
So you think if he plays like crap, they will release him?
Not that he released him, but the number of times
yeah.
I have seen different publications put out star defensive end Rashawn Gary. Don't you need double digit sacks in this bleeping league to be a star?
For what he's getting paid, it would be nice.
He needs to have minimum 12 sacks. Minimum.
Yes. I agree.
If he goes out there with 9 again, Chew,
mm-hmm.
that's disappointing and not good enough. I know he gets all the pressures in the world. That's great. But that's like getting wide open
mm-hmm.
and then not catching the football.
Correct.
You have to complete the play.
Yes.
You have to, the best pass rushers, the star pass rushers in this league, get sacks.
All right, what about your potential other choice?
Quay.
What does he have to do?
Quay? Be noticed?
Shine?
Yeah, just be noticed.
Yeah.
Because how many, outside of the pick six he had week 1 against Chicago.
He didn't do
How much did you really even notice Quay Walker on the field last year? For a guy that's supposed to have the sideline to sideline speed.
Like, the excuses are done. The ACL, you know, an ACL last year.
Oh, the scheme was bad.
And the scheme was bad. That's sailed. Now it's on you. So who are you picking?
I mean, I'm... So here's the... Putting Rashawn Gary here would open me up to the most ridicule if he has a good season, but also would reap the highest reward if he ends up with 9 sacks again.
But based upon your previous answer to the question, 10 games for Christian Watson is very disappointing.
Yeah, but it's also expected at this point.
Okay.
You know, I'm not expecting him to suddenly be healthy and play 17 games and have 1,400 yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong. That'd be sick if he did. That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Sign me up for more of that. But I think it's got to be somebody defensively. I'm leaning more towards Quay because I think... Does anybody else get that feeling with Rashawn Gary that he's not as good as everybody tries to tell me he is? Or is that just me?
No, I'm with you. Because that was his M.O. and...
Yeah.
M.O. and at Michigan.
The problem, I think, is I don't think Rashawn Gary's ever going to be bad. So it'd be hard to... Like, 9 sacks would be disappointing, but he still had 9 sacks. Like, there might be somebody...
I need him to be a star, Josh.
He's got
to
play like an A player.
But that's not what they're asking here.
9 sacks is a B player. I need him to be an A player.
Yeah.
But how disappointing are B players?
When they're supposed to be A players and they're getting paid like A players?
We've spent too much time on this guy. We've got like 8 more questions.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right, I'll go back to it. Kicker at the end of the year.
Andres.
Yeah. I'm going Carlson. I just don't think there's anybody else out there. He was a draft pick. Will producer Alex Strofe be invited to Ben Brust's wedding?
I need a little backstory.
He's currently on the maybe list.
He's the producer. He works with him every day. He's not going to be invited? Is there a riff?
It's funnier if he's not.
Is there a riff?
It'd be funnier if he wasn't invited. yes, I will give you that.
But see, Alex is a young guy, wants to be invited.
He's made it clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know Ben was getting married.
I went with yes.
Was that an email?
I said yes.
Was that an email?
It was not an email.
It wasn't an email?
What game does the season end?
Detroit.
Huh?
What round is that? Is that the NFC Championship?
NFC Championship.
Is that the divisional?
NFC Championship.
I'm saying the divisional round.
Oh, you didn't want the team?
No. No, what? I mean, unless you're going to pick, you know, week 18, then I guess you could put the team.
The championship game.
Okay, NFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Who leads the team in receiving?
Jaden Reed.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Reed is the safe one, as much as I want to say Wicks. Will Kyle Wallace get engaged?
Backstory. How long has he been
just
dating?
Been in a long-term relationship.
How old is Kyle?
32, 33,
34?
Yeah,
something like that. Early
30s. Okay. Yeah. Halfway through the year, huh?
Well, a lot of people get engaged around Christmas.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Halfway through the year, though. Valentine's is big.
Yeah. What are they digging these up? Right after the Super Bowl?
I believe so.
I hope the ground's frozen.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Can't get
It'd be
out.
Funny if
I'm
there's like
say,
a leak in
I'm gonna,
the box
I'm say,
and
I'm gonna...
it all gets ruined. It'd be a real shame.
Oh. there are so many ways this could go wrong. Uh-huh.
Long term?
I'm going to say yes.
I'll go no.
Where does Jordan Love finish in MVP voting?
5th.
I'm going to say 4th. Who throws for more touchdowns this season, Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love?
A-Rod.
I'm going to say Love.
Can't believe you guys. I mean, jeez. Talk about.
He's 40 years old coming off an Achilles.
Yeah. Bet against him? Bet against
him. I did last year. I won.
What happened when you bet against him?
Josh won last year.
Guy goes out.
I did the last year, too. He was in the Packers.
Yeah, if you bet against him the last 2 years, you won.
No, it's going to be close, but. God, how quickly you turn.
Yeah, bleep that guy.
Take the heart out of it. Bet with your head, not your heart.
I am taking my heart out of it. He's 40 years old coming off an Achilles.
He's still favoring his leg at training camp.
Hasn't played well in 2 years.
Out of all the questions we answered, I probably feel the most confident about this.
About Rodgers over Love? More touchdown passes?
I mean, Alex being invited to Brush wedding is a yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to happen.
And then I would say this one is probably...
Do you have any one more surprising prediction for the football season?
Just give me a hot take on the NFL season. What are you thinking?
On the entire NFL?
Yep.
Or?
Yep.
Oh, I already gave it.
Is it Aaron Rodgers wins MVP?
He will finish top three MVP.
That's pretty lukewarm.
That is?
Yeah.
All right, you go first, Gabe.
I'll say Cowboys missed the playoffs.
Cowboys missed the playoffs. That's fine. Bears win 8 games.
They're over under 8.5.
He looked back at me so proud of himself.
We talked about this yesterday. The most money at ESPN bet is on the under.
You guys suck, man.
You're not necessarily a hot take artist.
No.
You just say, wow.
I'm all hot take.
I don't know if anything you say is a hot take, really. It's wild. But I don't know if it's hot take-ish.
The Aaron Rodgers top three MVP is getting put down. I guess that has to count.
Yeah, I mean, he's not top three in odds, so it works. It'll work. All right. We have our top 8 at 8 coming up next. I think Chewy's going to like the list. Here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh my God.
Show me chicken.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm getting a football education during the break. Chewy's got his whiteboard. Just drawn up different defenses, educating all over the place.
Coaching you up.
So we're going to get into this in just a little bit, but it seems like the Packers have been a sexy pick. Oh, this offense is going to be top 5. Somebody even said they're going to have a top offense. Colin Cowherd saying Jordan Love's going to be the league MVP this year. So I thought it'd be fun to take a look at the top 8 offenses from last year, but the twist is I did the Chewy method. I took the yards, took where they finished ranked in yards, took where they finished ranked in scoring, combined them, and that's how we got the Chewy top 8 offenses from 2023 in the NFL.
Which is a good way to do it. Offensively and defensively.
Yeah.
I think that's a good model. All right. So top 8 offenses based on that model.
Based on that model.
Last year.
Yes.
Let's go with the team they're facing today. Baltimore Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens were tied for 5th. They are on the lists.
Let's go.
By the way, they finished 4th in scoring, 6th in yards.
There's a few that are glaring me in the face here. Miami Dolphins being one of them.
Yeah, Miami Dolphins, number 1. They were 1st in yards, 2nd in scoring.
Yeah.
Number 1 overall offense in the Chewy system.
San Fran.
San Francisco 49ers, 2nd in yards, 3rd in scoring, number 2 overall in the Chewy system.
The division rival Detroit Lions.
Detroit Lions, 3rd in yards, 5th in scoring, number 4 overall.
Okay. There's got to be some weird ones on here, but I'm not going to
I think
go
there's
there
one more
yet.
Easy one, and this is totally my fantasy football season rested on this. It was the Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys number 3.
Yeah,
Cowboys,
his Dak was so good.
Cowboys were 5th in yards, 1st in scoring. Cowboys had the top scoring offense in the NFL a year ago. So you guys have the top 4 in order. Dolphins, 49ers, Cowboys, Lions. You have a team that tied for 5th, and then there are 2 teams in the Ravens. So there's one more team tied for 5th, and then 2 teams who tied for 7th.
I got another one. No, that's a defensive team. I got a weird one. You want to hear weird?
Hit weird. Hit me up.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Nowhere in the top 15.
Yeah.
That's weird, though.
It was definitely weird. No, it was definitely
weird.
Was
weird. You went hot.
You went weird. Yeah.
I did.
You went weird.
Oh, so that's a hot take. I'm out.
I think the defense was the issue on this team last year, but I think the offense was still pretty damn good because of the wide receivers. Philadelphia Eagles.
Eagles tied for seventh.
How many you got left?
Two. Team tied for fifth.
Hold on,
hold on.
Everyone's beating up on the Eagles, and they still finished seventh in offense?
Yeah, in the Chewy ranking. So they were eighth in yards, seventh in scoring.
Yeah, I think their problem was a lot of defense and then just like general discord on the team.
They had a lot of turnovers, too.
Yeah. I don't know about this one. What about the Rams?
Rams tied for seventh.
Wow.
One more team left.
Should we leave it up to the audience?
Let's leave it up to the audience because we have a great prize on the line today.
What do we got?
This is what you get when you draft 250 best offenses, by the way. You know who the good offenses were.
On the line today, if you get best the last one on the top eight Chewy offenses from a year ago, again, taking the points rank and the yards rank, combining them, creating this Chewy offensive list. If you get the last one today, you get a foursome to the Wisconsin Country Club.
Nice.
So you get to go check out the beautiful Wisconsin Country Club. That's where I belong. You can, you know, maybe think about joining out there as well. Let's go out to John in Milwaukee. John, do you have the last one on our top eight list today? The top eight offenses in the Chewy ranking system.
Can you recap for me?
So the Dolphins were number one, 49ers two, Cowboys three, Lions four, do not have the first team in fifth, a team that tied for fifth, the Ravens, team that was seventh, the Rams, and a team that was tied with the Rams, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oof. I'll take a stab here. Cleveland Browns?
Cleveland Browns were tied for 13th Chewy system, yeah. So that is incorrect. We go out to Justin in Greendale. Justin, you're on the top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Buffalo Bills.
A.O. Buffalo.
Nailed it.
The Bills.
Good pull.
Fourth in yards, sixth in scoring. They were tied for fifth with the Ravens. You are our winner today, Justin, meaning you get that foursome out to the Wisconsin Country Club.
That one felt so that I had that one in mind and I kept going away from it because their offense was impotent for like two thirds of the season.
Well, they fired Dorsey. Remember, they fired Dorsey in the middle of the season.
But I mean, it is Josh Allen and it is like there's still talent there. But
see, I thought someone would fall for the trap, and that being Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs were 11th. Yeah.
But they offensively weren't great.
Yeah, they were 9th in yards, 15th in points last year.
Yeah. They didn't score a lot. Who are some of the other names that like rounded out the list there?
So the wild one, so the Packers were T9. The team that they were tied for 9th with?
Saints.
The Saints.
Which is weird.
Wow.
How did you know that?
Because I don't know, for some reason I was looking at top-ranked offenses last year, like a couple weeks ago, and that stood out, and I'm like, this has got to be wrong.
Yeah, the Saints were 9th in scoring, 14th in yards. Packers 11th in yards, 12th in scoring.
Where were the Texans?
Texans were 12th, right behind the Chiefs. And then the Colts were tied with the Browns, 15th was Jackson.
Which is weird, because weren't the Packers in like week 8 or 9, like 28th?
They were, it was bad. I don't think it was 28th, but it was bad. It was down there.
Yeah.
So they rallied. So I started by, I had like the top 16 yards. So the Vikings finished top 10 in yards, and I think they finished near 20 in points. So they racked up a lot of yards last year. They just put the ball in the end zone. Which
I'll tell you what, if they had Cousins back.
Oh, yeah, they'd be a dangerous team. They were a good team last year with Kirk Cousins, and then he got hurt.
Well, he got hurt,
But, I mean, they came into Lambeau. They had their way with the Packers.
Yeah. Hmm. All right. Good list. Solid.
And, again, so the winner there, Justin, got a foursome to the Wisconsin Country Club. It's where I belong. I love it for the golf course. But maybe you're looking to join a country club that just doesn't have golf. They've got all the other amenities as well, like pool, tennis, pickleball. They've got you covered at Wisconsin Country Club with no assessments ever, no food and beverage minimums as well, with that beautiful course that I love. That's very challenging. I'm going to be out there this afternoon getting at least 9 holes in. We'll see if we can sneak in more. Wisconsin Country Club also giving back to the community as well. Swing for Cindy. Help raise money for ALS coming up on Monday, August 26th. It's a 10 a.m. shotgun start, silent auction, raffles, putting contest, and more. Find out more details on becoming a member or on the Swing for Cindy events at thewisconsincountryclub.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact?
Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
He also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
So the reason why I picked the top 8 offense the way I did, because again, last year the Packers, I mean, certainly in the last 8 games, had a top 10 offense. But it seems like this week is the week to talk about the Packers offense. And I think the Packers offense is going to be good. But the way that everyone's like, oh yeah, Packers are going to be a number 1 offense, Packers are going to be a top 5 offense, it's giving me vibes of when everybody told me that the Packers were going to have a top defense. Not this past season, but the season before. Oh, they spent all these draft picks. They've got all this talent. They've got all these things. And look, the offense isn't, I don't think, going to be as bad as the defense was 2 seasons ago. But also, they're still growing. That has to happen for this team to reach that level. I look at the teams, again, the Chewy ranking system is where you take the yards, you take the scoring, you add them up, and you go from there. So the top 8 teams, Chew, Dolphins, Niners, Cowboys, Lions, Bills, Ravens, Rams, Eagles. What's something that all 8 of those teams had in common a year ago?
A year ago, they all had a number 1.
They had studs.
Yeah.
Absolute studs at wide receiver. At least one stud at wide receiver. And a lot of those teams had more. Right? Like the Dolphins, the Niners have a lot of pass catchers. I mean, I guess the Ravens would be the only one, right? The Ravens would be the only one that did not have an absolute stud number 1.
Is Mark Andrews their number 1?
Yeah, but he got hurt too. He only
played. I know.
Yeah,
but
he has been in the past. Zay Flowers certainly grew last year. Like, he had his moments.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say, I mean, their pass catching weapons would be the only one a year ago, similar to what the Packers had.
Yes, correct.
But the Rams, Eagles, like the Ravens are the outlier there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Packers come in there, they're knocking on the door. But again, and LaFleur gets mad when we focus on this, somebody has to become a stud. And the more fans I talk to, like I was talking to a fan during a WSG event I played on Monday. Oh man, he's like, Rodgers, he just got locked on to Devontae, which I think is just a narrative that existed because of one play. Did Devontae catch a hell of a lot of passes? He absolutely did. But when Devontae was getting the ball because they had 35 seconds left in San Francisco and he catches back-to-back throws to get them in field goal range so Mason Crosby can win the game, nobody's complaining about it. But you complain about it when in the playoff game, you have Alan Lazard running wide open and Rodgers just chucked it deep for whatever reason to Devontae. Like, when you have a number 1 wide receiver, it changes everything. And I guess I look at it like this, Chew, and you can tell me if I'm way off base here. But when you have a stud number 1 receiver, I think that almost makes it harder on defenses because they've got to always keep, okay, we got to keep an eye on him. Mm-hmm. When you've got receivers like the Packers do, and they've got deep receivers, like I don't want to say they're bad, they're good receivers, you can kind of just go about your business, right? Like if you want to run cover 3, okay, we'll just run cover 3. We're not going to shade. We're not going to, hey, make sure we keep an eye on Devontae or Justin Jefferson or whomever, Amon-Ra St. Brown, whoever you want to throw out there. They can just kind of run their stuff and not have to worry about, okay, we got to make sure we're keeping an eye on this guy.
Yeah.
Am I wrong about that?
No, the one thing I thought we'd get out of this camp is a clear ranking of their receivers, which I don't think we have any. I mean, there was love for Dobbs with Jair saying what he said.
Yeah.
Early on, there was a lot of love for him. And then you go to Denver and you just, you don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, and I kind of thought I knew what he was. I'm not going to say it's for sure, but if he goes out and doesn't do anything against the Ravens, he's a good player.
No, he's James Jones.
He's a good player. He's not a great player.
No.
He's not a great player.
But they need somebody to be a great player out of this group.
Like, I thought they would try to push. I mean, we all know about Wicks, right? Yep. Wicks, great, young. There was talk of him elevating to the number one position. That doesn't feel like it happened. Now they're going to say, hey, he caught a touchdown pass against Cleveland. That was against a safety. That was Andre Rison touchdown in the Super Bowl. Where they screwed up because they put the corner outside, which is fine.
That's where having the deep receivers, you can take advantage of that mismatch,
and let me
right?
Tell you,
like, that's where having that deep of a receiving core certainly
helps.
There's
benefit to having, as many talented guys as they had, but it just, life is a little easier when you do have that stud, not from a standpoint of he's always going to be open, you're always going to go to him like Devontae. It's just, it knows what you're going to have opposite Devontae, you're number one. You're going to have single coverage, and that guy should win. And they still do it today when I played, and it's probably true with the Packers. Their number one receiver against most teams isn't going to be as good as the number one corner for the other team. Number two corner, number two receiver for the Packers, sometimes the corner's going to be better than him. Sometimes the receiver's going to be better than him. Where you make your hay is the third spot, the zebra position, as we used to call it. Most teams try to get that third receiver much better than their nickel, right? And that's why that position group is the most popular across the board, and that's what you try to get to. That's where they're at. The Packers' number three receiver should always be better than their nickel. Than the other team's nickel. And I think that's how they go about it. You can win that way. You can win when it's flowing. It just makes life a little harder. Makes life a little harder. Like I said, I'm not concerned.
No, I still think that this offense can be very good. I don't think they can be the top offense in the league without somebody emerging.
I agree.
Like, you got to have a 1,000-yard receiver. You got to have somebody who emerges as the guy. In order to have the top offense in the league.
LaFleur does do a great job of scheming guys open.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have teams that have 17 or how many games on film, right? So you're not going to fool them as much. You can only do so much, right? Eventually, you got to do your bread and butter, and you got to do it well. So teams, and they spend so much time in the offseason, you always study your division the most, and then you go to the most relevant teams in the NFC. You go to San Francisco, you go to Philadelphia, you go to teams like that, and you study up on them. That's my only concern. Is the scheming open? Because he did a ton of it last year. I mean, there's only so many things you can draw up on paper the week before a game, and that's my concern. Because 80% of it is your bread and butter stuff, week in, week out. Change the formation, change the personnel grouping, and it's the same stuff.
Yeah. Josh, are you worried at all about all this love the offense is getting in the way that, again, I pair all this love that's coming from the outside with some of the reporting that's being done by guys like Wilde and Huber and Domofsky of, thought the offense would be a little bit better in camp. Again, not that they need to win every day. Clearly they've had their moments from time to time, but the offense has won one practice, and then the defense goes up against a mediocre offense from a year ago and gets worked.
Let me tell you why people shouldn't get concerned. They stunk for 8 games. They weren't good.
Yeah.
Right? So if it starts off slow, there shouldn't be a panic button. It's a long season. You can turn it on. They proved that last year. Do I anticipate them starting slow this year? Absolutely. Absolutely.
If they're 2-5, Chew, I'm going to be full panic. I'll tell you that.
Oh,
right
well,
now.
You should be. Two and five.
I'm going to be full disclosure.
But if they're 3-2, Gabe?
Oh, 3-2 is no.
Yeah,
you're fine.
You're fine.
3-2, yeah, you're going to be fine.
I get nervous every time the national pundits coalesce under one single take. It's different when it's Patrick Mahomes is going to have an explosive offense. Like, well, yeah. We've seen proof of concept in that before. To be predicting and kind of out ahead of it, I understand why. You look around at all the weapons, the addition of Josh Jacobs and Jordan Love continuing to improve. I think this offense like bottoms out at middle of the league, so I'm not terribly terrified.
Yeah, that's why, I prefaced this whole thing with, it was like when everybody was loving on the defense 2 years ago, and I don't think that, I mean, that defense had a much lower whatever this offense
The is. Only way they bottom out, finish 15-20, the offensive line stinks.
Well, so that's
and
the other
hurt.
Thing. Yeah. That's the
and
other
hurt.
Thing.
That's how they bottom out.
This offensive line got off to a slow start last year. They were more beat up than we thought. And among their top six, Zach Tom's beat up.
Yeah.
Jordan Morgan's beat up. Makes me a little concerned.
I think the path forward for them is the emergence of there's a couple outs here. Like, if Christian Watson stays healthy, that changes the entire face of the offense.
Without a doubt.
If Josh Jacobs is 2 years ago Josh Jacobs, whole different offense, very hard to stop. If Dontavian Wicks emerges, whole different offense. If Jayden Reed keeps it up, like, I think there's pathways there, and that's what excites me about it, is you don't have to do it one single way necessarily, and not all of it needs to be Matt LaFleur being the most creative and best OC in the league for the season. I think there's multiple ways there, which gets you excited. I do agree, though, you have to, even if it's, hey, Tucker Kraft, he gets 5-6 touches a game and they're all valuable. If it, you know, like, you, they have to find their things. It can't just be maybe Bo Melton goes off. Maybe Grant Dubose goes off. Maybe Wicks goes off. Like, I do think they need to find a consistent couple options that they're going to rely on game in and game out.
It's both lines. It's O-line and D-line. If they get gashed and run defensively and, you know, Rashawn Gary has 8 sacks and Preston Smith looks old and Devontae Wyatt is not the draft pick we thought he was, it's going to be trouble. So those right now are my two biggest question marks. I feel good about everything else except that.
I got questions about linebacker. Somehow, like, even though positional battles were happening at the, like, somehow I feel best about the secondary.
Yeah.
Because of McKinney and because of Jair, even though you have a position battle for the second safety and you have, it looks like Stokes is winning and going to win that second corner spot.
Mm-hmm.
But linebackers are kind of beat up. Not a lot of proof of concept there either.
Chair linebackers didn't really matter. I mean, I don't want to disparage him, but I guess I already
did.
Just
too late.
But when you have a defensive line of Sean Jones, Reggie White, Gilbert Brown, Santana Dotson, makes your job a lot easier.
Would you have said that if you thought Wayne Simmons was listening?
No, Wayne was just kind of the cherry on the top.
Okay, because Wayne's a little like...
Wayne was the cherry on
the top. Well, but Wayne was also a little crazy.
Well, Wayne showed up and sometimes he didn't, though.
Oh, really?
Oh, he didn't always show up.
Okay.
No.
He didn't turn the crazy on enough?
Well, he played down to his competition, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're playing a crappy team, lights are on.
Mm-hmm.
The lights are on. And you're playing a good team. Wayne's the man.
But Wayne wasn't showing up when you were playing.
Not really.
The Lions, because they were bad. Although,
before the San Francisco game when he beat the crap out of Brent Jones, did you really hear a lot about Wayne Simmons?
No.
He shined when he needed to shine. You know?
Worked out for you.
He got his guy.
Especially in that game.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center is the only place to go for that ring. Best place to shop in Milwaukee for diamond engagement rings for a reason. It's clearly where I went. It's where I will always send somebody, because if you have an idea, you can just browse their inventory, shoptjc.com or in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. But if you don't have an idea, Maybe check out our Pinterest page. See if there's anything there. Bring those ideas in, and the helpful team at the Jewelry Center is always going to make sure that you find that perfect diamond engagement ring. Whether we're talking about lab-grown diamonds, naturally mined diamonds, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to an engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. So check out their inventory. ShopTJC.com. Make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right?
Yeah.
Kind of like a, oof, like, just, instead of a, huh.
Yeah. But that's all part of taking the training law.
I do, but it's just such funny noises.
Did this get sexual or something? I don't know about it. What the hell just happened?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Great song. And the reason why Joshy's playing it is because right now is your opportunity to check out Third Eye Blind. They're coming to Pottawatomie. And here at ESPN Milwaukee, we love to send you to great events. Right now, your chance to see Third Eye Blind Saturday, August 31st at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel as part of their Amplified Concert Series. Caller number 6. Caller 6, 800-990-3776 to the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line gets a 4-pack of tickets to see Third Eye Blind. Full contest rules at ESPNWisconsinContest.com. Third Eye Blind, August 31st at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Call now. I'm going to be there.
You're a big Third Eye Blind guy,
I am.
Is that a zit?
No.
What is it?
Well, I'll explain it to you later.
Because the third eye is typically a zit.
Nope.
Third eye. Is it spelling? What? Is it an old guy thing? What?
Yeah.
That's called an eye?
Yeah.
No idea.
Yep.
You young kids are weird.
Well, what do you mean young kids? It's a group from the 90s.
This is?
Third Eye Blind? Yeah.
Our music in Green Bay, when I played there, was so bad.
Well, yeah, they still play jock jams up there.
Closing time. One last call for alcohol.
Semisonic. That's a good song.
That's a horrible song.
It's a good song.
Yeah, it gets me up. Yep.
Well,
gotta block Michael Strahan. Hey, let's play Closing Time.
Closing Time is a good song. It is not a good song to play before a football game.
All right, that's fair. I'll meet you there.
Okay.
Yes.
Should that be on any sort of football
no.
or stadium playlist? Absolutely not. No. Get it as far away from
the stadium. I mean, is Green Bay
playlist.
Still known? Because players I played with, they'd be like, dude, your music that they play in the stadium is terrible. Well, is it still bad?
They still play the, there's like the 90s jock jam song when they're doing starting lineups.
Like, is it bad? I'm just asking.
It's not good. Would it be nice to update that? Would it be nice to upgrade that? Yes, absolutely it would. I think that's one of the things they should be looking into. Maybe a different song for the introduction, but I think at this point they feel that maybe it's part of the charm of Lambeau?
No, it's not. It's really not.
The olds that are there with their green package will be all hacked off.
Would they? Telling you to sit down? I'm trying to listen to the damn music?
Yeah, it's that newfangled rap music. Get that out of here. I'm trying to enjoy a game.
I mean, the Bucks do a nice job.
Yeah. They've got DJ
right?
Shauna.
It's because they're modern.
All right.
I mean, it was a big deal that they had an alternate white jersey.
No, I know.
That's true.
That was like groundbreaking for that team.
I mean, Affliction is just hitting Green Bay right now, right? Give them a break.
It's
what?
Unnecessary, isn't it? That's a little unnecessary.
The music's bad, though, right?
It's not good.
Okay. Just saying.
Those people in Green Bay got the gemstone
pants
on. I mean,
shouldn't the players have a voice?
You would think.
We had no voice. Huh?
I mean, I'm surprised, especially after you won a Super Bowl, that you guys did not have a
voice.
No voice
whatsoever.
You guys should have gotten some sort of vote.
It was Leland J. Remmel.
Although, but like,
let's play a little Billie Holiday.
But you want Steely Dan, and that's not stadium pump-up music either.
It's better than what they got. Not by much.
Debatable. Debatable. Okay. What's not debatable, Wildy and Tausch. They're coming up next.